Someone once told me that the reality I thought I knew was just one of many.
Be careful which path you travel down. Stronger than you have lost their way.
You think there will be no consequences?
We're in the end game now.
I sacrificed everything. And it meant nothing.
Oh, Strange. What have you done?
I never meant for this to happen.
You cannot control everything.
You brought this on yourself.
You break the rules and become a hero. I do it and I become the enemy. This doesn't seem fair.
Go, go, go! Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness.
Welcome back to Conspiracy Theories and Unpopular Culture. I'm your host, Isaac Weishaupt. Today we're going to talk about the second Doctor Strange film. Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness. Now, why didn't they call it Doctor Strange 2? I don't know. I didn't realize that until I painstakingly assembled this analysis. Today we're going to talk about the symbolism of the film. It's a very important show, all right? This one's what we call a banger in the biz. We're going to talk about the Illuminati eschaton, the Scarlet Woman, America's role in the occult fantasies of bringing about the end of times. It was very blatant and very much in your face in this film. We've got a lot to get through. I've looked over and prepared for this analysis probably more than I should have because I've got other things to research. And we will be continuing our discussion from the podcast last week for Doctor Strange from 2016, the first film, all right? This one, we're going deeper into the Whore of Babylon and her role as the Scarlet Woman. We're going to talk about the Mark of the Beast, which that one's going to shock you. I got some truth bombs headed your way. Yoga, possession, oh my God. The Darkhold, the Black Arts, it's all there. And of course, America, her secret destiny of the occult practices. As you know, in most of my film analyses, I give you my hot take at the beginning. Should you watch this film? Because it's going to be plot spoiling, all right? We're going to spoil the plot. Should you watch it? Well, it's a Marvel movie, all right? You've seen one, you've seen them all. That's all you need to know. If you're into that, go for it. If not, enjoy. Enjoy the show. How long is the movie itself? Well, it's 2 hours and 6 minutes. And you feel every minute of it, I'll be honest with you, in that old, tired old movie theater in the old, decrepit shopping mall. Who's in this one? Well, you know, we already talked about the main character, old Benedict Cucumber Bun. He's in this one again, of course, but this time we get Elizabeth Olsen. She plays the role of the Scarlet Witch, which, as you could guess, is going to be our Scarlet Woman, the Whore of Babylon. Fun fact, guess who Elizabeth Olsen is related to? Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen, that's right. Those are her sisters, if you can believe that. If you know the 90s show Full House, you got it, dude. I kept saying that. Remember those chicks? Well, this is her sister. Her Wikipedia says, Elizabeth Olsen has been an atheist since the age of 13 because she believes that religion should be about community and having a place to go in prayer, not something that should determine women's freedoms. Shots fired by Elizabeth Olsen. Actually agree with her stance on that. You know what? I'm freedom of religion, but don't try getting other people to believe your thing. I'll let you believe whatever crazy thing you want to believe. Keep me out of your belief system. And that goes from my Christian warriors as well. You want to believe in the way of Christ? Good on you. I commend that. But don't be trying to get these politicians to enforce the rules you believe in, because I guarantee there's all these different flavors of Christian out there. I disagree with a lot of them, but yeah, anyway. Massive rabbit hole alert. We're not going down. What's this movie about? What's Doctor Strange 2 about? It's about the fourth phase of the Marvel Universe. I don't know what that means. Not a big Marvel movie fan. But from what I do know, the show on Disney Plus called WandaVision, which stars the Scarlet Witch, as well as Doctor Strange, the first film, they both lead up to this second Doctor Strange film. All right. Now, we're going to get into plot spoiler territory. You've made your choice by now. And take note that this film analysis will not be typical of mine. I usually get to review the film a couple of times. I'll watch it the first time and maybe take notes, maybe not. And then the second time, I'll take more in-depth notes. And then maybe even a third time if I need to put a fine point on some of the ideas, capture some clips for fair use, of course. Pause, subtitles. I get very thorough about it. Take notes. But this is a movie I had to go in the theater to see, and I wasn't very happy about it. You've heard me talk about it if you follow me on, I do a million shows now, and I'm on social media, and I don't even remember. I know I talked about this somewhere, so I won't belabor the point, but not a fan of the movie theater anymore. And I used to be a real big movie theater guy, real excited to go to the movies, and no longer, no more fun. I'd like to see them at home. I don't want to leave my house, okay? It's a wonderful home. It's a wonderful home. So this goes without saying, there won't be photos to go along with this analysis on my Instagram like I typically drop. Because obviously I can't get screenshots unless you want your boy to get arrested for pulling his phone out during the movie. You know I got yelled at once already. I'm not trying to catch that heat. I don't want the smoke from the movie theater people. Nor will there be video clips. And a lot of this will be an amalgamation of my memories of this film, which I got to be honest, my memories get a little fuzzy, all right? Combined with the plot description on Wikipedia. Hey everybody, it's Isaac. I've got a top secret message for you. A secret contest, that's right. You probably didn't know you were going to get involved in a contest today. Well, let me tell you something. Here's what happened. Was when I recorded this show, you hear me throughout the show say, well, you know, I couldn't get any images because I was in a movie theater, right? Well, that was a lie. Results come back. That was a lie. What I did was I was able to comb through a bunch of online posts and trailers and crap. Anyway, what I did was I put together some very good explanatory image posts on my Instagram where I explain these complicated symbols so you can make a lot more sense of it, especially if you're new to all this. For example, I've got several of them. I got one where he's doing the Mano Cornudo hand, but then you also see Anton LaVey, the founder of Church of Satan, doing it. Why? Well, I explain it there. You see the magical Doctor Strange hand gesture, which is the sigillum from John Dee, and I explain what that is. And, you know, so on. We got yoga. We got all-seeing eye. We got the Baphomet two-finger salute. We've got America. It's all in there. So anyway, go to my Instagram, if you haven't already, instagram.com/IsaacWisehop. Link is in the show notes, as always. And while you're there, you can enter this secret contest. That's right. It's a total secret. Only you know. It's an easy win for you. And what you'll win is an official Conspiracy Theories and Unpopular Culture t-shirt. You're going to love it. Completely free of charge. I'll even pay for shipping. Come on, let's go. But here's the rules. You got to follow me on Instagram. That's one. And you already do that, right? And then also, you have to leave a comment on that Doctor Strange 2 post, the one I'm talking about right now, the one that has the images from Doctor Strange 2, where I explain some of the symbols and ideas. You got to leave a comment on there where you tag three people. Three people. Sell them out. Sell them out. Tell them you're tagging them so that they can see the symbols. You know, tell them you're just trying to win a shirt. I don't care. Whatever you want to tell them. Tell them nothing. Just tag them. I'm not going to follow them. I'm not trying to message them or nothing like that. The goal here is I want more people to see this symbolism that typically would not, because it seems like nobody realizes, or maybe nobody cares, that any of this is happening. It's in our face. A spiritual battle going on right now. My God. You can save the world through Instagram. Who would have thought you'd have this kind of power? It's all in your hands. So there you go. You can enter the contest to get a free, awesome t-shirt. And also, while you're there, subscribe, follow the Instagram, instagram.com/IsaacWeishaupt, link in the show notes as always. Also, to put the pressure on you, that contest is going to end Tuesday, June 14th at noon Mountain Standard Time. That's 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I will be announcing the winner on my Instagram, doing an Instagram Live, so you can ask me questions. You can tell me how great the contest was. But yeah, you've only got a certain amount of time, so June 14th. 2022, it's a wrap, so hurry up and get in there. Doctor Strange, it starts out, he's having a dream, right? And in the dream, he's sacrificing this young girl in the multiverse. He's saving the multiverse by blood sacrifice of this young girl, who turns out her name is America. We don't know that yet. We just see some girl. And he wakes up from the dream. Oh my God. And he goes over to Rachel McAdams getting married. I forget her name from the first movie. She was in the first one. Now she's getting married to some other guy, not Doctor Strange. And she orders a glass of wine, and Doctor Strange is there. And using his magic skills, he turns this glass of water next to him into a glass of wine. And he even says, in case you missed it, the clear metaphor here, he says, was that too on the nose? Of course, this is the apotheosis. This is the idea that these superheroes are gods that walk among us. And you'll notice Christianity is devoid of all of these films, always, all the time. Science fiction can't wait to get rid of the religions, to replace it with the new old religion of paganism, right? That's what they want. And the superheroes are the pagan gods. That is the new pantheon of gods. So when he does that, it's a clear reference, shots fired towards the man, the myth, and the legend, but, you know, Jesus Christ himself, capital H, our God, our Christian warrior God. Now, if you listen to my entire lecture I did on superheroes that I was going to do at the local Comic-Con, the FanX in Salt Lake City there, I already talked about this whole thing. And I realize I probably give mixed signals, because I oftentimes condemn organized religion. And that's kind of where I'm at in my current journey of trying to understand spirituality. All right. I don't agree with everything that organized religion tells us. But obviously these are heretical beliefs, right? Heresy. For me not to believe some of the literal phrases from the Bible itself, the word from God himself. It's my struggle, right? That's all, you know me. From the beginning, I tell you right off the bat, not a good truther, not a good Christian. Don't follow me if you want the spiritual truth. I'm just pointing it out as I see it. So anyways, Doctor Strange is apparently Jesus Christ. Next thing we see, Doctor Strange looks out the window. There's trouble in the streets, and he puts on his magical cloak. He starts fighting. He's fighting a one-eyed monster, symbolically important here. Apropos symbolism for what we get at the end of the film. More to come on that. Put it in the back pocket. Fun fact, if you pay attention during the fight scene, there is a prominent restaurant sign during the fight. It's in a large marquee. You can't miss it. It says Clams. C-L-A-M-S. Now, I don't know about you, but I've never seen a restaurant that basically is called Clams, or, you know, boasts that it has clams. Seems kind of strange. Very prominent. And this might be a stretch, but it's a theory I'll throw out there. You decide if you want to believe in it. I think it could be a reference to L. Ron Hubbard in Church of Scientology and Jack Parsons, because L. Ron Hubbard once said that man evolved from clams. That was the primordial form. And man retains this consciousness of the clam. The clam had one decision. It had one mission. While it sat on the beaches sunning, it had one choice: Do I open the shell or do I not? And that, according to L. Ron Hubbard, through evolution stays with us over time. And the way that the Church of Scientology can help you with your indecisiveness is through the clearing process. Now, ironically, the only reason I know that, I'm not going to pretend like I knew that off the top of my head. The only reason I know that is because I was researching for this movie analysis. I was reading this book, ironically, at the same time, John Dee and the Empire of Angels by Jason Louvre. Fantastic book. I'm about halfway through it, good, but it is dense. The densest, densey McDenserness, all right? And I had actually already started a couple months ago because my man Jordan mailed me a copy. Thank you, Jordan. Shout out Wind and Sea Coffee. And I'm reading this book, and then I watch Doctor Strange, and the pieces start fitting together that Doctor Strange is, in fact, John Dee, which we talked about on the first Doctor Strange film analysis, all right? So in preparation for this film analysis, I was going to read this entire book. It's like, I don't know, what was that, 6,000 pages? And I couldn't do it. I was like, I'm never going to get this done in time. So what I did was I listened to some of Jason Louvre's podcasts. He was interviewed by the great Greg Carwood in 2018 on the Higher Side Chats, a show I've been on. How many times have I been on Higher Side Chats? 5 times? I don't even know. I lose count. So anyway, that's where I heard this theory about the clams. And I thought, man, synchronicities left and right all day. So Doctor Strange, he's in the movie, and he fights this one-eyed monster. Also a metaphor for the penis, but hey. And what the metaphor shows us, much like it showed him saying, look, I am Christ now. I turn the water into wine. I am your God. On the nose, it tells you what it's doing. Well, he saves the young woman, America. He saves America from the monster. All right? Well, we later find out that this dream Doctor Strange had at the beginning, it wasn't a dream at all. It was real. And it was, what it was another Doctor Strange in another universe, and that one died. And America, I'm going to keep saying America. America is the girl in the film. Don't be confused. Of course, we're going to address this in the conclusion where we're going to address all these topics. But we got to get through the film first. I got to catch you up. If you're a guy like me and you didn't want to see this movie, I got to fill you in on what happens. So apparently, the dream wasn't a dream. It was another Doctor Strange in a parallel dimension, what they're calling the multiverse. And America, she's got this power to jump universes. And she does so, and she proves to Doctor Strange that, look, that wasn't a dream, because I put Doctor Strange from this other universe is dead, it's a corpse now, and I put it up on the roof. And she shows it to him, and he's like, oh, okay, well, that's kind of weird. And you'll notice the costume of the dead Doctor Strange, it appears to have the phoenix on its chest, the symbol of alchemy and rebirth. So there you go, we got the death and rebirth, get it? Because he's dead at the beginning. And then, oh boy, I'm just so excited. And plot spoiler of what happens, he embraces the dark arts and then he is reborn. All right? See how chemical process. There's some dialogue about how there are runes tied into all this, which makes Doctor Strange say, well, maybe we should talk to the Scarlet Witch or Wanda Maximoff, whatever her name is. He's like, look, this isn't sorcery. This is witchcraft. And she's a witch. So goes to talk to her, but he finds out that she's the one that's been attacking with demons. And she's trying to get America's powers of jumping universes, because you see what the Scarlet Witch wants is she wants to be rejoined with her two sons in this other universe, this other multiverse. So she's attacking America because she wants to harness the powers from America, and that is the catalyst of this whole film. All right, so we see Doctor Strange and America, they're walking along the street, And here comes Bruce Campbell from Evil Dead making a cameo. Only this cameo, he plays the role of a street vendor serving pizza. And he calls himself Pizza Papa. Now there's some real strange ideas we can pull out of this, right? I feel like pizza's awfully curious given the theme of the movie, as you find out, is about sacrificing a child. This is a very deep and dark rabbit hole. If you followed my shows the last few years, you know we've talked about these subjects many times. But you also hear America talk about how great this world is. She says, you know, most of the universes I jump into, the food is free. Very socialist propaganda. Which, as you know, I'm very OG granola woke. I'm a little bit of socialism is okay, right? Too much socialism is bad. Little bit's okay. How do you find that balance? I don't know. Don't ask me. But we also find that, but like I said, I keep my opinions reserved. I'll tell you what it is. That's some socialism promotion right there. The idea that there's going to be free food, right? Now, we also find out later that she's got two mothers. It's a very progressive movie. Very progressive ideas presented here by Marvel, which isn't surprising, right? Because Disney, a lot of people are trying to cancel Disney. The right wing seems to hate Disney because, I don't know, they were too gay, and then they weren't gay enough, and then they were too gay again. I don't really follow it. I don't know. All I know is that Walt Disney was into some occult stuff. But yeah, you see a lot of these agendas in these movies sometimes. Now, Scarlet Witch, she's pissed, right? She's trying to steal this America to jump, but she's your dark hero. She's your anti-hero. She's got good reason to do bad things. And she attacks Kamar-Taj. I always forget how they said it in the movie. Kamar-Taj. It's the little dojo where Doctor Strange learned how to be a magician. So Scarlet Witch is attacking Kamar-Taj. Strange and America, they transport to a whole nother universe because look, America can't control her portal jumping abilities. It just happens. She gets scared and bam, there she goes. So they get transported to a universe, and we find out later that the universe they jump into is called Earth 838. And for reference, the one they jump from, the one they're in most of the beginning of the movie, is Earth 616. Now, those numbers hold very deep significance here. You need to hang in there. There's going to be more in the conclusion, and I'm going to blow your mind, so hang in there. So Scarlet, she uses this technique they call dreamwalking to possess a body in this universe. She gets into a lotus position to do this. Now, the dreamwalking is to possess another body. And this is the dark arts. And we'll talk a little bit about the dark dimension. We already covered it in the first film. But we'll talk about the dark hold and all this black magic stuff. But here you see her doing this dreamwalking possession. And when she does it, she's in the lotus position, which a lot of people, you know, you're familiar with. You sit with your legs crossed and your arms with the Hindu yoni, right? The 666 hand. But now the lotus position is a position in yoga or meditation. It's an asana. Asana? Asana. And yoga is it's an occult practice if you go back to the origins of it. Now, I'm not saying yoga's bad. I'm not saying that as the relaxation, stretching form, I've done it many times myself, all right? I've even felt strange energies doing it, okay? Yoga means to unionize or to yoke, all right? And its origins originally were meant to separate the consciousness of the practitioner from the body and tie it into the divine, right? The divine mind, God, this impersonable God. But like I said, today it's mostly therapeutic yoga, right? Like my mom, she's a very religious woman. She loves her some Jesus Christ, some Bible. Some, maybe even a little fire and brimstone sermon at church. I don't know. And she does a little bit of yoga, you know. Don't tell her. Don't tell her I said this. But, yoga's original roots were very much not Christian. Now, like I said, I'm a very pragmatic kind of guy. I don't think that that means you should be avoiding it or joining the picket line for it or whatever. I think it's a different purpose, different practice. It's kind of like meditation, right? Like, I do all these practices. You just got to be aware of what's going on, all right? That's all I think about it. But what do I know? You know, you talk to a pastor, a priest, preacher, they'll probably tell you otherwise. Like I said, don't follow me for spiritual advice, my friends. If you look at the New Age Encyclopedia, which is very much Christian soldier slanted, I got to forewarn you. It says this. It says, if one considers the ancient yoga science of pranayama, controlled breathing, to have relevance, then one must admit that the manual manipulation of the nasal cycle during meditation, dhyana, is the most thoroughly documented of techniques for altering consciousness. It's all about altering the consciousness, which in some ways is good. Even if you're a Christian warrior, you can alter your consciousness. Sometimes people have depression. Sometimes people have mental issues, anxiety. We live in a crazy country. It's a crazy culture full of crazy people. How do you deal with all these things? But in yoga, you use breathing and body positioning like the lotus position for a reason. It's achieving this altered state. You're using the body and the mind together to more or less channel and move energies around the body, the chakras, the kundalini, all that crap. You're awakening psychic energy, your kundalini spirit, the serpent. And it's supposed to allow a person to know that they have this divine nature within them, and when it connects them into the global consciousness. Which is interesting, because if you listen to my Doctor Strange 1 analysis, you heard how Stan Lee makes a cameo in the film. And what is Stan Lee doing in that cameo? He's reading a book. And what is that book called? It's called The Doors of Perception. And what's that about? It's about using drugs to make contact with the divine, to alter the consciousness. The samadhi. Anyway, back to the film. So she's doing the dream walking, right? And she's entering an altered state, and she's astral projecting into another person's body. Actually, I've got one more thing from the Encyclopedia of New Age Beliefs. Listen to this. This one's actually really good. Perhaps the most dominant characteristic in kundalini arousal and other yoga practice is an experience of energy infusion or possession. So there you go. She's doing the yoga pose, the lotus position, to do actual possession. And right there in the Encyclopedia of New Age Beliefs, it says that the most dominant characteristic in kundalini arousal or yoga practice is possession. And then it goes on, it says, the Taoist master Chaopi Chen observed that as time passes, demonic states will occur to the practicer. Significantly, yogic energy manifestations and possession are sometimes initially sensed by the experiencer as the work of an evil spirit. So you can see these parallels. But like I said, you know, to put it into perspective, the Encyclopedia of New Age Beliefs, the author is John Ankerberg. All right, he's this Baptist minister, very fire and brimstone-y. He's got a show on Daystar, which is the gospel TV network. They're a little bit eccentric sometimes. So take that for what it's worth. Now, Scarlet Witch, he's in this possession, and it gets broken up when some other witch sacrifices herself, and Scarlet ends up going to this ancient temple so she can harness the dark dimension, the dark hold, they call it in the film, to enable her to do more of this dream walking, of this possession, of this astral projection, because it takes energy to do this. And we find out the temple is called Mount Wundagore, and it's actually a mountain that has all of the power of the dark hold within it. Now, you'll notice on the temple, there's a statue, and that statue is of the Scarlet Witch. And it looks, the mannerisms of it appear to look just like the Mesopotamian goddess statues, Inanna, Semiramis, whatever you want to call it. And in the movie, I wish I could show you the images, we see her embrace a carving that has arms in the Baphometic as above, so below stance. One arm up, one arm down. As above, so below. The hermetic wisdom of alchemy. So somehow, she gets America into this Mount Wundagore, onto the sacrifice altar, and she starts trying to pull her soul from her body so she can have this ability to jump universes and be with her kids. And that's all happening. Meanwhile, at the same time, on Earth 838, Doctor Strange in America. Oh, you know what? I think I jumped. Sorry. I told you. I warned you. This is what happens when you get one shot in a movie theater. And you saw my notes. I posted the image on the Instagram, taking notes in the dark. All right. Actually, kind of like told you. That's kind of like the end of the film. So let me back up a little bit. Meanwhile, on Earth 838, Doctor Strange in America, this is before she gets on the sacrificial altar, all right? They're at this local magic dojo, and they get apprehended. And they get put into these glass cubes. Rachel McAdams tells them about how there's all these different universes. And that's when she reveals that they're in Earth 838. And where they came from was Earth 616. So they put magic handcuffs on Doctor Strange and present him to a council that goes by the name, wait for it, the Illuminati. That's right. Illuminati confirm. They're telling us right in your beautiful faces. Illuminati, and in this universe, 838, they're the good guys. It's a group of heroes. It has a bunch of them. The only one I recognize was Reed Richards from the Fantastic Four, a.k.a. Jim from The Office. And then Professor X from X-Men. And then a couple other, I don't know, side piece heroes. But the issue is that in Earth 838, Doctor Strange abused the powers of dreamwalking of this possession state. And he did this with an entire universe. And I can't even read my own notes, everybody. I'm very sorry. Anyways, he did this, and he ended up killing the whole universe or planet or whatever. And it was like a trillion lives lost. So he's been a bad boy in this Earth 838. Because in Earth 838, he jumped to another one and killed a bunch of people. All right? Thus the handcuffs. All right? And what's weird is that he's a hero in this world at the same time. Because what he did was he stopped Thanos from killing even more people. All right? And to make it worse, he used the Darkhold, which is the dark arts, the black magic, to do all of this. So they end up... So in this universe, 838, Doctor Strange was a bad boy, and the Illuminati kills him. And he's like, you know what? I deserve it. You got to kill me. So he could no longer harm other universes. Incursions, as they call it, all right? Now, before they decide what they're going to do with Doctor Strange in 838 from 616, Scarlet Witch possesses a new body in 838, and she kills everybody there, right? Except for Doctor Strange, America, and Rachel McAdams. And those three, they go into this void between universes to get this Book of Vishanti, something they keep talking about the whole film. And what's the Book of Vishanti? Well, it's the opposing force to the Darkhold. Maybe it's the white magic to the black magic, something like that. Oh, and there's also, I forgot to write this down. This just came to me. You'll notice when Doctor Strange is at the Council of the Illuminati, they're telling him about how, look, we had to kill you in this universe because you were a bad boy. And he's like, hey, there's a statue out front of me. If I was such a bad guy, why'd you build a statue? And they say to him, well, everybody needs heroes. So what does that mean? That means the Illuminati knows there's a version of reality they're creating for the sheeple, the mouth breathers, the normies, where they lie to them because the ends justify the means. They're like, look, we got to be the people behind here to make sure that everyone doesn't die. they're basically the Great Reset. They're the Klaus Schwabs, right? It's the Council of Schwabs. Anyway. Doctor Strange. He ends up... So, okay. I know, it gets confusing, right? But it's the multiverse of madness. What do? It's maddening. So Doctor Strange, he ends up getting away, fights another Doctor Strange in another universe, and you see him using these music notes in a harp. It's actually a very cool sequence in the film. Probably the coolest part of the movie, actually. And what's curious here is that wasn't that Lucifer who in mythology is depicted as playing the heavens? The harp. Remember that? He's in the heavens playing the harp. He's playing beautiful music before he got booted. So it's an interesting choice they made here to show Doctor Strange as a Luciferian force playing the harp. So Doctor Strange from 616 now, very confusing. He dreamwalks, takes possession of the Doctor Strange corpse from the beginning, which has the phoenix on the chest, right? There's your rebirth. In order to try to stop Scarlet Witch at this ancient temple, the Mount Wundagore, because remember, she's trying to sacrifice America on the sacrificial altar. Now, in order to do that, he's actually attracting a lot of dark energy, a lot of dark demonic spirits from the Darkhold. They attack him, but what does he do? He ends up consuming them so he can use the dark powers against the Scarlet Witch. Again, the ends justify the means for some of these things. So he attacks the Scarlet Witch, the corpse possessed with the demons using the dark arts, and he ends up freeing America, who then opens up a portal and puts the Scarlet Witch through to 838, where she kind of wanted to go, and she sees her kids, only tragedy strikes, and they're terrified of her. But she's like, hey, I'm not a monster, I'm a mother. But the kids ain't buying it, they're screaming. And Scarlet gets all sad, and she's like, all right, maybe I shouldn't do this, because she loves her kids so much. And you'll also notice, and I could be wrong, again, I wish I could review the film again, I think the kids are watching Snow White, which is interesting because it's a story of a witch, right? So Scarlet Witch, she ends up having a change of heart, and she sacrifices herself in order to destroy this Darkhold, the ancient temple, every copy of the Darkhold, and everyone goes home to their universe, and that's it, right? Happy ending. Then you get the little denouement, and Doctor Strange, we see him walking down the street, and bam, he's got the third eye. It pops open out of the forehead, and he's doing the demon possession. So, a very disturbing and dark film, right? Very upsetting. In fact, a friend of mine put me on to this. A lot of people told me that I had to watch this film. That's why I went in, all right? I went into the dreaded theater with the stinky nerds and watched this movie. And I'm glad I did. You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't my kind of movie. Wasn't my cup of tea. But boy, oh boy, is there a lot to talk about. Disney taking a turn to the darkness. And that's what my friend Hermione McGonagall there, she's the one who told me about it. She don't really follow this stuff. She just said, look, something's wrong with this movie. There's something dark about it. And she was right. Now let's unpack this whole mess. If you thought I'm long-winded already, you ain't seen nothing yet. In conclusion, I probably got another half hour. Maybe an hour. I don't even know. We'll just keep going. We're going to keep rocking. I'm not going to give you a two-parter episode. I wouldn't do that to you. We're going to talk about the symbolism here. We're going to talk about, we're going to talk about the Illuminati some more. We're going to talk about the multiverse. We're going to talk about the Scarlet Witch, more of the dark arts. So let's get into it. I got to open the window. Stand by. It's a very strange time of year here. My apologies. And you probably think, Isaac, you know what? You're making podcasts. You think you're a professional. Why don't you just pause it? It's because I'm having a problem here, right? I film video for my tier 2 and up supporters and my Rockfin people. All right, in conclusion, symbolism. Let's talk about symbolism. We see the two-finger salute. Doctor Strange is always doing this number, right, with the two fingers together, the forefinger and the middle finger. And this is what the Baphomet does. Again, another reference to the Baphomet. It means as above, so below. Two fingers up, two fingers down. Bam, bam, bam. Thank you, ma'am. We also see him do the Mano Cornudo. That's like the I love you hand. It's the devil horns, all those things. And this happens at the end when he's harnessing the black magic. He's sitting in the circle of candles and using this exact hand gesture. You've seen Anton LaVey, the founder of the Church of Satan, using this. It's a witch hex. You see a lot of pentagrams. In fact, you'll notice America, every time she jumps universes, she creates a portal. And that portal is the shape of a star, which is a pentagram by definition. It's also, I would argue, could be a stretch, an homage to Jack Parsons, the original Antichrist. Because if you know a thing or two about rockets, and I happen to, because I worked with explosives in the military, that they will configure the powder in different shapes for different burn times. And guess what one of those patterns is to maximize burn time of a rocket? It is the shape of a pentagram, of a star. We also get symbolism of the all-seeing eye, right? Popping out of Doctor Strange's dumb head. It's the pineal gland opening up. You recall the beginning of the film, we saw the monster, and it had one eye. It was the all-seeing eye monster. And, you know, Doctor Strange, in the whole movie, it's about him harnessing and embracing the powers of black magic. Even his buddy, at the end of the film, he was like, hey, was it worth it? And Doctor Strange says something to the effect of, well, oh, you mean possessing my dead corpse and using demons to fight the witch? And he's like, it sure was. The ends justify the means. And that's what opened up his third eye, by the way. And if you recall in Doctor Strange 1, I made a big to-do about how we see Doctor Strange in the hospital on the gurney with one eye closed. It was symbolically showing us his eye was about to be opened because that was his first stage of awakening at the dojo when he learned all these secrets of the occult. We also find lots of sigils. And if you look at the shapes he creates when he does his magic tricks with his hands, you see the little light shapes and such. You'll notice it looks very similar, if not identical, to John Dee and Edward Kelly's Sigillum de Amath. What was that, you ask? Well, it's a guide for making contact with the angels and controlling spirits back in old-timey 1500s. It's like the Seal of Solomon. The seal, of course, was two overlapping triangles making a hexagram, and that's kind of what this sigillum is. It's multiple pentagrams and heptagrams and flip-flap flammograms and everything. You name it, they got it on there. It's all packed in there. And if you read Jason Louvre's book on John Dee, he talks about the Sigillum de Amath and says it's based on an even older grimoire, a spell book, if you will, called Liber Iuratus, or the Sworn Book. And that book is a collection of knowledge from older magicians. And it forms 93 chapters, by the way. 93, of course, being the number of the Lima. Aleister Crowley's religion. And it's a manual of summoning perverse and evil spirits. And he goes on about how it demands purity as a prerequisite of its usage. So interesting that you see the sigils in the films put right in your face, and a lot of people probably don't know that that's a John Dee sigil. And I would argue that a lot of people wouldn't know that the John Dee sigil is actually exactly a manual of summoning perverse and evil spirits, which is exactly what happens in Doctor Strange 2. That's exactly what he's doing. The Illuminati, they're in the movie. We all know who they are. But in the Marvel Universe, They are a secret society that rules Earth 838. And we hear that the Doctor Strange and 838 put this group together in order to, quote, make tough decisions the majority of people are not ready to face. They're laying in the acceptance of an idea of a group of elites that know better than the mouth breathers. That's your Klaus Schwabs. That's your Great Reset, folks. Your elites. And look, there's a good argument to say that maybe most people can't handle these kinds of things. We do stay distracted. You know? I don't blame the Illuminati for having that mentality. You know, a lot of people don't want to make these tough decisions. We know what we're supposed to do, and sometimes we don't, right? We're human. The tough decisions they're referring to, of course, is killing some in order to save the whole. They had to let Thanos wipe out half of the globe in order to keep him from destroying every single person. And Doctor Strange also had to use the black magic of the Darkhold to find a weapon to defeat Thanos. But in order to do so, wiped out an entire reality, a trillion people. The ends justify the means. Just like the real Illuminati would do. They're the adults in the room. We just get to watch Marvel movies and go to work and whatever. We also find out they're into manipulating the public when they tell Doctor Strange that, look, we kept that statue because we need the heroes. This is what happened to Pat Tillman. Remember the story of Pat Tillman? The football player that signed up to be a Green Beret got killed by friendly fire. And they used it. The military used it in order to try to paint this superhero image of him when the reality was it was friendly fire that got him. And his family spoke out about this very loudly. In fact, I met Pat Tillman's brother one time, if you can believe that. It was back in, I don't even know. I couldn't even tell you. 2010 to 2015, somewhere in there. And me and a bunch of friends did the... Me, Josie, and a bunch of friends went out to Lake Tahoe to do a Tough Mudder for Wounded Warriors. Remember that? And I knew the whole story. I read Pat Tillman's book. I had seen Pat Tillman's brother on TV. It's a fascinating and tragic story. It's sad. But when you talk about propaganda and lying to the American public, it's a very important story. And we did this whole Tough Mudder. It took us it was like 8 hours. We were not fit. We were not ready for it at all. It was a total nightmare. And we got done. I'm half hallucinating. I even had the, the aluminum foil cape on. They give you when you're in like a car accident and you're shivering and shaking. I had one of those because I don't remember why. I was just in a state of shock about how fat and out of shape I was. And I look over and I see Pat Tillman's brother. I don't remember his name. I keep calling him Pat Tillman's brother. I should have done 3 seconds of research. I'm sorry. I didn't think I was going to tell this story. It just came to me. But Pat Tillman's brother was there with, I believe it was his girlfriend or his sister or somebody. I don't remember. And I said to Josie, I said, I'm always starstruck. I'm a real big star effer. Pat Tillman's brother. She said, what? I said, come on, let's go. And I went and shook his hand and all that. It was real cool. He was like, cool story, bro. No, he was really nice. But I looked up to Pat Tillman. I'd read his book at this point already. So it was kind of surreal. Anyhow, the Illuminati did that too in this movie. Now, the multiverse. Let's talk about what the multiverse. That's science fantasy, all right? The idea of parallel realities. Infinite universes on infinite timelines. Oh, it makes your brain hurt when you start thinking about it. And it also supports this quantum idea of superposition, how something, one thing, can be in two different positions and at the same time, identically. You know, they run these quantum physics tests where they flip the electron spin of one atom over here and it reflects in this other dimension over here. Don't ask me. Even the scientists say it's almost impossible to prove this theory about this parallel multiple dimensions and stuff. But if we take a step back, what we're looking at is the scientific understanding of our world. And like I've been talking about many times, modern science is rooted into the ancient alchemy and philosophies of the occult scientists who were trying to understand observable reality. They had based their entire worldview on what they call the Hermetic wisdom from Hermes Trismegistus, the bird alien in ancient Egypt. What these scientists like Isaac Newton and John Dee and all these 1500s science nerds, occult sciences, I should say, they were trying to understand how the world worked, the observable world, so they could understand God and God's mind. The idea that we're actually all part of God's mind, the entire world is. And if you can decode how God created reality, then you, man, could become the next God and create his own reality, which is magic, which is exactly what Dr. Strange learns at the dojo, the Karmitage. Now, one more interesting idea we talked about with a guest I have on this show a couple times, SMQ. He did the famous show, We Died in 2012, famous theory of his. That was back in like 14 I did that show, 15. CERN is making black holes. Gordy Rose is making an AI computer, a quantum computer, excuse me, that's pulling data from other dimensions. And all of this could have a role with Mandela Effect. A lot of weird stuff here, man. Like, it makes your brain hurt when you get into that aspect of it. The Darkhold, black magic. Let's talk about black magic for a minute. Doctor Strange uses it, and this is what causes all these issues, but he really doesn't care, right? Because, you know, at the end of the film, in the denouement, Wong asks him, how you feeling after all that? And he says, I feel fine. I'm okay with it. He's totally okay using the dark arts to get the job done. And the impression left upon the viewer is that, yeah, that is okay. That's how you get the job done sometimes. It's a means to an end. The end justifies the means. Now, if you go to Marvel Fandom's website, those nerds say this. The Darkhold's pages contain a number of powerful black magic spells. However, its influence is so strong that all those who read it are corrupted, losing their souls and becoming possessed by Chiton. In a sense, it is the antithesis of the Book of Ashanti, which previously I said that was kind of the white magic side of the house, all right? And then it goes on and says some stuff, and it says, aeons ago, the evil elder god known as Chiton wrote all his evil works and spells on indestructible parchment, originally written on flesh before being transcribed to stone and later a collection of parchments often referred to as the Chiton Scrolls. The pages were later bound together into a tome of the codex type named the Darkhold and also the Shiatra Book of the Damned or the Book of Sins. It has served as the source for other such books of spells as the Necronomicon. What is he saying? What are they talking about? It's a lot of Lovecraftian language. If you follow H.P. Lovecraft, Chiton, it's spelled C-H-T-H-O-N, is almost exactly the same as Cthulhu, which is C-H-T-U-L-H-U. And you find out that the Darkhold is the source for the Necronomicon, which is a fictional book created by H.P. Lovecraft. And we hear how Chiton put the spells into the scrolls of the Darkhold so a doorway could be opened between Earth and Chiton's dimension, which is just like H.P. Lovecraft stories about Cthulhu. Now, should you have any doubts that the Darkhold and Doctor Strange's universe is Lovecraftian, listen to this. Again, from Marvel Fandom, doesn't get any nerdier than that. Alternatively, the Lego Logomancer theorized that the Darkhold, the Necronomicon, the Oracles of Zoroaster, and other mystic scrolls and books were in fact simply a collection of imperfect copies of the ancient writings etched on the walls of Rillie by ancient and hideous things, the Great Old Ones, among which Chiton was allegedly the greatest, despite generally being recognized as an elder god. All that is language straight from Lovecraft. That word I can't pronounce, R apostrophe L-L-Y-E-H, Rillie, the Great Old Ones, an elder god, the Necronomicon, Chiton, and Cthulhu. It's the same thing. And why should we care? You'd probably say, Isaac, you know what? H.P. Lovecraft was just a great fictional writer. Just having a good old time. Well, there's a guy named Peter Lavenda, and he's very well knowledgeable on the occult. And he wrote an entire book called The Dark Lord. And in that book, he lays out how H.P. Lovecraft has some very strange parallels to Aleister Crowley, to Sirius, and of course, Satan. And I believe in that book, he talks about the Yazidi tribes worshiping Satan and all this crazy stuff. Now, why should you care about that? Well, years and years ago, I read all this stuff. Then, lo and behold, in 2018 or 19, here comes Peter Lavenda working with Tom DeLonge from Blink-182 to write books about the alien phenomenon. They're doing mass disclosure about what the aliens are. From, I would argue, the occult perspective. They're indoctrinating the occult ideas upon the masses. Fun fact, the Darkhold spells created the world's first vampire, Varney. Again, a Marvel fiction stuff, right? But you can confirm that the Darkhold is all black magic. Outside of the H.P. Lovecraft satanic connection that I'm trying to say here, you can confirm it's black magic by looking at the opposing polarity, the Book of Vishanti. It's a book for white magic. Again, let's go to the nerds from the Marvel fandom universe here. It says the Book of Vishanti contains the most powerful white order magic spells known, many of them being counterspells to other magic disciplines. The original contents were written by Agamotto sometime before the fall of Atlantis. That's the Eye of Agamotto, right? Remember that? We talked about that in the first film analysis last week. Now, Atlantis is very important to all this. Atlantis is the belief that a lot of these occultists have in an advanced civilization, the perfected utopia. And guess where they said that was going to happen again? America. Yes, America. The New Atlantis, Francis Bacon described, and so did Manly P. Hall, in Secret Destiny of America. And guess what the whole idea was? The whole idea was that you could have this perfected society, this utopia, but it was based on a technocracy. What's a technocracy? It's science telling us what to do. They say, trust the science. They're laying the foundations for a future government based upon scientific principles. And look, I like science. There's nothing wrong with science. The problem is when science becomes your belief system. That's the problem. But this Book of Vishanti, they're saying that it was also possessed by the Babylonian god Marduk. Marduk was the god of wisdom, the sun god in Sumerian mythology. He was the crown ruler of the Anunnaki, yes. Again, you've got this ancient alien overlap with H.P. Lovecraft as well as the Marvel Universe. The Anunnaki, the aliens from the 12th planet of Nibiru, they claim. All this pseudoscience mixes science and fiction and reality. That's why if you are a supporter, you heard my bonus show for the month of May. I talked about that UFO Congress meeting they had recently. And I went through the different ideas that they floated there. A lot of people were like, oh, that was a nothing burger. No, it wasn't a nothing burger. There was actually some interesting ideas that fell out. I'll drop one idea on you. They grilled the guy, the director of the new alien X-Files group, right, at the Pentagon. And guess what they said to him? They said, they basically implied that because they're like, you're a science fiction nerd, aren't you? And he was kind of like, a little bit, you know, everyone's a science fiction nerd. And I think what they're trying to do is, I think they read my books, right? I don't think that. Maybe, though. The ideas I present in my books are that these occultists, they make fiction become reality. So these science fiction tales do become reality. And if they focus enough energy, that's what happens. And I think they kind of knew that. Now, in the film, they show the Book of Vishanti, and it appears to have the Star of Babylon on it. And you can see it at the end of the movie. It's on the back of the book. He removes it from a holder. I could be wrong. Obviously, I could not pause it. But that's what I thought I saw was the Star of Babylon, which takes us into the Scarlet Witch talk, which we're going to have. Now, the first person to possess the Book of Vishanti was none other than Varney, the first vampire, back in Atlantis, according to the fictional universe. Next, I told you there'd be some Mark of the Beast talk. And would you believe that the number of the beast is not 666? No. There is a theory that the real number of the beast is actually 616. I'm going to read you from thetextofthegospels.com. One of the most well-known textual variants in the book of Revelation occurs in 1318. Here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. His number is, and then this is where the variant unit occurs, and they claim that almost all Greek manuscripts of Revelation have this long Greek word I'm not going to try to pronounce, of, you know, basically 666. But there's a codex called Ephraemi Rescriptus that claims the number of the beast is actually 600 plus 10 plus 6, which is 616. And there's a bunch of theories and ideas on how this mistranslation happened, but we won't get bogged in it. That's just, you know, the one idea. Now, why does that matter? Because in this movie, do you remember, they said Doctor Strange was in Earth 616. And who came up with that number? Rachel McAdams. Rachel McAdams did. She says, I study and catalog different universes. And we had 616 and 838. So it's very important to have the Illuminati running the Illuminati universe of Earth 616. Now, America, why is America in this, right? Well, America is very important. It's very literal. It's very direct metaphor. She is the blood sacrifice. You hear it right at the beginning of the film. In Doctor Strange's dream, he says, America's sacrifice is worth it in the multiverse. The ends justify the means. The name is not coincidental. If you look, America, she's got her Jan 6 fits on. She got her denim jacket with the stars and stripes, which is a violation of the Flag Act, by the way. I know that's the crowd of people who say that they're the patriots. Well, I'm the real patriot here. I won't wear a flag because it's in violation of the U.S. Flag Act, but people insist on doing it. And I don't care. That's fine. Just saying. Now, at the beginning of the film, Doctor Strange goes to the Scarlet Witch and she says, and I quote off of my memory, what if you brought America here? She was trying to trap Doctor Strange into bringing America to her. What if you brought America here? I think this is interesting. I think this reveals the occult takeover. They're bringing America into it, right? And of course, the witch, Scarlet Witch, eventually reveals how she's going to sacrifice America on this sacrificial altar, which further describes this weird occult fantasies they have about the eschaton, about bringing about the end times. And you'll hear them talk about these two realities colliding, and they say it in the film. They say, America doesn't have long. Is this a warning? Is this a warning film about the eschaton coming about, the end of times? If you go back to the occult doctrines, Manly P. Hall's Secret Destiny of America describes how America will fulfill this fantasy. I'm going to read you from this book. And in this passage, they direct the Illuminati, right? It's called The Order of the Quest. This is the umbrella, right? And you got to read Bill Cooper's one of the first to lay this out. The Order of the Quest is basically the Illuminati. And, of course, the Illuminati's in this movie, Doctor Strange 2. But they talk about wisdom being the cure for man's ignorance. This is the technocracy of science. The sciences are the most brilliant. It's the perfected social order, the utopia, which, oh, by the way, the world's richest man, Elon Musk, guess what his family, was it his dad or his grandfather? A technocrat. He went to prison for it in Canada. It was illegal to be a technocrat, and that's what he was about. So get ready. I'm going to read you. It's kind of long. Stick with me, all right? Don't drop out yet, because I've got even more interesting stuff. Hang on, I'm going to read you from Secret Destiny of America. All the sciences contain brilliant, far-seeing men who equally desire to contribute their part to the philosophic empire of the future. Secret societies were formed in their own professions, using the emblems established in their arts to conceal their social aspirations. Thus did the alchemist come into being, the mystic chemist seeking the elixir of life, the wise man's stone, the universal medicine, and the agent for the transmutation of metals. The elixir of life is truth itself, the preserver of all things. The wise man's stone is science that can work all wonders and solve all riddles of the mortal sphere. The universal medicine is wisdom, the only cure for ignorance, which is the universal disease. The agent for the transmutation of metals is the pattern of the universal state, the essence of the perfect plan for a world civilization by which all the base elements in human society can be transmuted into the spiritual gold of right purpose. In Italy, the Illuminati sought for the pearl of great price hidden in the deep waters of mortal corruption. In Northern Europe, the Knights of the Holy Grail dedicated their lives to the search for the chalice of the Passion. Jewish and Christian Kabbalists pondered the letters of the scriptures to find the secret of the crown of splendors, and the Rosicrucians in their hidden houses used the Rose of Sharon as the symbol of brotherly love. Blah, blah, blah. All these groups belong to what is called the Order of the Quest. All were searching for one and the same thing under a variety of rituals and symbols. That one thing was a perfected social order, Plato's commonwealth, the government of the philosopher king. To this end, each consecrated its life and knowledge, exploring ever further into the secrets of nature to discover the greatest secret of all, the secret of human happiness. Ugh. Painful. Painfully boring to read this stuff, right? But that's what it says. You got to know that these elites, they sit around obsessing over this stuff, right? And that's what they want for America. So when you see America in Doctor Strange 2, just know that's literally what they want. They want America to be this new occult thing. Moving on, Scarlet Witch. She is the female empowerment archetype of the witch. I love witches myself. But that's what witches stand for, is the powerful female, all right? In the WandaVision series, you apparently hear that she is the Scarlet Woman. If you read, I'm going to read you from Rotten Tomatoes' interview with the creator of the show, Jack Schaefer. Through the years, Wanda's costume identity never took on a greater meaning, despite her absolutely essential and sometimes chaotic contributions to Marvel Comics lore. Tying it to that chaos and a destiny she's yet to deny or embrace also created the possibility of further defining magic within the Marvel universe. The witch zone was not explored, Schaefer said. We hadn't seen witchcraft. We'd seen magic in the space of Doctor Strange and a sort of, I would argue, more of a masculine magic, not at all aligned with Salem and our sort of Americanized version and feminized versions of witches and magic. Now, what is she using? She's using witchcraft, but she's also using chaos magic. Which, if you watch these movies, it kind of all looks like the same thing. But I'll give you my brief understanding of chaos magic. This is more of the anarchist style of magic. If you look at the occult encyclopedia, it says Thelema, that's Aleister Crowley's religion. It says Thelema, Satanism, and the left-hand path coalesce and form new expressions in the meeting with underground artistic milus. There's that word I never know how to pronounce. And dissemination structures. It's saying that chaos magic is spreading online and in non-initiatory channels. Sorry, that was the end of the quote. Man, I tell you, my brain's getting mushy, all right, folks? That was the end of the quote. In the meeting with underground artistic milieus and dissemination structures. See, what I do is I got a Kindle, right? And on the Kindle, I highlight the passage and I put the little note in there and then I export it. So it's got my note in here. But I'm supposed to read the note in a different format for you, okay? So here it goes. So it says all that, and what it's saying is that chaos magic is spreading online in the internet, right? And non-initiatory channels, meaning not through a oral tradition, not through a mentor. It's anarchy. There's no authoritative structure. Just anyone is doing it now. Which ties us into Alan Moore, who wrote the Watchmen comic. He's totally into the occult. But now, most importantly, the Scarlet Witch is the Scarlet Woman. She's the Whore of Babylon. And there's this whole massive topic about how, you know, men basically suppress the true nature of woman and the feminine mysteries. You know, you want to talk about magic. Women create life. All right? Why we don't put them on a pedestal and worship them as goddesses they are, I don't know. I think there's some serious patriarchy stuff going on there. I'm not trying to pander to my female base, but for some reason, we feel this need to suppress the power of the women. And this is where a lot of the contempt for Christianity and traditional structures come about. And women, they are given a subservient role in American society in some ways. According to the beliefs referenced in the Bible is where they say this comes from. And look, I'm no scholar or expert on female studies. But I will talk to you about the and look, if you go to I got a quote here from George Frazier's Golden Bough. He suggests that you look to the stars for discussion about the power of the female goddess. Because they say that we came from an age of matriarchy before. It says, Sirius was the star of Isis, just as the Babylonians deemed the planet Venus the star of Astarte. To both peoples, apparently the brilliant luminary in the morning sky seemed the goddess of life and love, come to mourn her departed lover or spouse and wake him from the dead. So what happened, right? Women used to have this very high role. And the claim is, from what I understand, is that when religion came about, they found a way to suppress this thing. And this ties into Gnostic ideas about the Sophia goddess. This ties into the Bible discussing how Eve was the one that got seduced by the serpent. Big, massive rabbit hole. All right. But let's talk about the eschaton. This is the end times, which the Whore of Babylon, the Scarlet Woman, brings about. And this is strange. This is a philosophy that some politicians even subscribe to. They want to emanatize the eschaton, create heaven on earth through policy changes, through law, or some kind of wisdom that will trigger the apocalypse. It's literally what they want to do. And of course, in Greek, apocalypse just means the revealing, the revelation. But more specifically, it could be an entity revealing the mysteries to a human through visions, through dreams. And eschatology is the end of the current age. So it's the revelation, the awakening, the new age, basically. And this is something Crowley talked about with the Aeon of Horus. Ironically, it's what the evangelicals talk about with rebuilding the Temple of Solomon. Why do you think they're so buddy-buddy with with Israel, right? They think God is going to then come and reward all the faithful and punish the heathens. And they're like, bring it on, we're ready. And this goes into a few ideas. You've got the second coming of Christ. You've got the rapture. You've got the resurrection of the dead. The new earth, which in the Orthodox faith, you take the Nicene Creed. And you, in fact, every Sunday you go to church, you say the actual Nicene Creed verbatim off the card. And they talk about the welcoming the age to come. That's a reference to the new Earth, the Eschaton. And this is a massive topic. I would need an expert to get on here to break it all down. Michael Heiser, I'm sure, would be a good expert. I've communicated with him in the past. Very interesting topic, though. I'm actually reading and watching The Stand right now to see if there's anything there we can talk about. Let's go to the book of Revelation. It says, "The angel carried my spirit away to the desert. I saw the scarlet woman sitting on the beast with seven heads and ten horns, covered with blasphemous names. The woman was clothed in purple and scarlet and gilded with gold and precious stones and pearls, with a golden cup in her hand filled with abominations and the unclean things of her fornication. On her forehead a name had been written, a mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and of the abominations of the earth. I saw the woman was drunk from the blood of the saints and from the blood of the martyrs of Christ. Seeing her, I wondered greatly." That's from Revelation 17. Now, in terms of the eschaton, the end times that these evangelicals and the occultists seek to bring about, we know that Jack Parsons and Aleister Crowley played a hand in this. All right? If you go to Jack Parsons, he wrote a book called Liber 49 about, divided up in the Book of Babylon and the Book of the Antichrist, about his experience of trying to invoke this goddess force of Babylon. And it sounds a lot like Scary Satanville, but he tells you what he was trying to do. And if you don't know who Jack Parsons is, oh boy. Jack Parsons, major character in the occult, the guy who created JPL, the predecessor to NASA. He was an occultist. He wanted to destroy Christianity. He was into science fiction. Very influential on the science fiction community, right? This is what his own writings say. It says, "The present age is under the influence of the force called, in magical terminology, Horus." That's Aleister Crowley's idea, right? "This force relates to fire, Mars, and the sun. That is, to power, violence, and energy. It also relates to a child being innocent. Its manifestations may be noted in the destruction of old institutions and ideas, the discovery and liberations of new energies, and the trend towards power governments, war, homosexuality, infantilism, and schizophrenia." Now, this was written in the 40s, right? Long time ago, different world entirely. "This force is completely blind, depending upon the men and women in whom it manifests and who guide it. Obviously, its guidance now tends towards catastrophe. The catastrophic trend is due to our lack of understanding of our own natures. The hidden lusts, fears, and hatred resulting from the warping of the love urge, which underly the natures of all Western peoples, have taken a homicidal and suicidal direction." Now, he seems to be saying, he seems to be subscribing to a Freudian idea of sexual drive causing diseases. And that was his whole thing. He said he wanted to destroy the lying hypocrisy of Christianity. He thought that Christianity was suppressing all this sex. This is the 40s, right before the 60s. And, you know, America's not really known for their healthy views and attitudes towards sex. Almost done. Let's keep reading, though. "This impasse is broken by the incarnation of another sort of force called Babylon. The nature of this force relates to love, understanding, and Dionysian freedom, and is the necessary counterbalance or correspondence to the manifestation of Horus. It is indicated that this force is actually incarnate in some living woman as the result of the described magical operation." And that's basically the magical operation he did. He was trying to bring in the New Age, the eschaton, right? See how it all fits together? And it's interesting because all of this, all of the ideas that Parsons was embracing to try to bring about the Scarlet Woman or the Whore of Babylon onto Earth came from Crowley's Book of the Law, which was dictated to Crowley from a Luciferian spirit called Awas. And infamously, Jack Parsons and L. Ron Hubbard were in the deserts in March 1946 when they started working the rituals of Babylon to try to bring about the end times. And this is where they met Marjorie Cameron. They thought Babylon had manifested itself through her. and so on. And Parsons was saying that Babylon was to be the Gnostic Sophia. This is the feminine goddess that created the Demiurge after she rebelled from the Pleroma of God. It gets real deep, real quick, all right? But it goes to, this is what's interesting. If you read through Liber, oh boy, what was that book called Parsons wrote? I just told you. Liber 49. We're getting ready to wrap it up. I'm going to try to blow your mind one more time. Hang in there. I know it's been a long show, folks. I know it. If you read it, it goes through these various statements. It's not really a long book, by the way. It goes through these various statements about awakening the new age and the end, bringing the end times. That's what they wanted. And he signs it at the very end. And guess what he signs it? Balerion 8 equals 3. Which, if you're following closely here, coincidentally, is very similar to the other name of the other Earth in Doctor Strange 2. Remember? Earth 838. And here at the end of the Book of the Antichrist, it's Balerion 8 equals 3. Earth 838. Could it be the same thing? So in Doctor Strange 2, we effectively have Earth 616, which is the mark of the beast, the devil, and Earth 838, which is Balerion 8 equals 3. Now, what does that mean? Why did he sign it that way? It refers to a title one gets when they cross the abyss, which if you listen to the Dark Strange 1 analysis, I believe we talked about the abyss, the dark dimension. And 8 equals 3 is a degree you get when you cross. It means you've annihilated the self. You understand there is no self. There is, who are you, right? Well, there is no you. Is you who you think you are, or is you the person that other people see? Aren't you just a collection of atoms? Just like the atoms that comprise the bottle of water you're drinking. Is it the same kind of atoms, or is it infused with a spirituality? What's different about the atoms in the cup of water versus the atoms that comprise your body? The consciousness infused in it. What is your consciousness? Where is it seated? Is it in the mind? Is it in the heart? Well, 8 equals 3 is a degree one reaches when you identify that you are not one thing. You cease to exist. Which, oh, by the way, is the name of the Charles Manson song that he wrote for the Beach Boys. Oh my God, there's so many degrees of illuminate confirming this show. Now, I've got a passage here from Sex and Rockets, the book about Parsons. I'm going to briefly run through it because we got to wrap it up, all right? It says, the beastly named Parsons then took the oath of the abyss. Crossing the abyss involves total denial of the world and detachment from the ego. The oath has survived along with some of Parsons' other papers from this period. And basically, it's the oath of the master of the temple, the oath of the Antichrist, and I swear that my name is Balerion Armalus al-Dajjal Antichrist, who am come to fulfill the law of the beast 666. And I hereby accept all things needful for the fulfillment of my will, and do swear to persevere in this my chosen work unto the end. Now, did he do it? I don't know. He apparently didn't leave a lot of notes about the process. But Crowley did it, and the way he did it was through gay sexy time. We talked about this in Doctor Strange Part 1. All right, but it's a massive topic. We can't cover it in its entirety, but the idea of the Whore of Babylon woman bringing the end of the world comes through the Abrahamic traditions. We're talking about Christianity, right? The Jews. Maybe not the Jews, because if it's in the New Testament. Anyways, a lot of male-dominated religions, though, right? They embrace this idea, and some would argue that it's rooted in the ideas that women are evil because they cause men to lust after them. And they were originally thought to enchant or glamorize male victims, like a vampire. And all this because Eve, let Satan into the world after taking a bite of the apple. And then, of course, one more thing about Jack Parsons. Guess what his real name was? It wasn't Jack. It was Marvel Whiteside Parsons, Marvel, bringing us back full circle to this whole Marvel superhero thing, right? The influence is there. They pay their homages to these occultists. It's there in plain sight. And in conclusion, the biggest in conclusion, what is this we're talking about? We're talking about culture creation. Talking about creating reality by simply planting the seeds through fiction. We saw that UFO Congress where they grilled the director of the new UAP task force about how he was a science fiction fan. Because they were saying, like, look, this informs your worldview, and we got to be careful about that. You might want to be a little too eager to find these aliens. And science fiction can create reality. That's what all these occult scientists were doing. It's what they were obsessing over going to the moon because they'd read them in the pulp magazines, in the old comic books. Wernher von Braun, the Nazi scientist, he talked about it. Jack Parsons talked about it. They all got this idea of going out to outer space from the comic books. And who, you know, the OTO, the Ordo Templi Orientis, I think it was Theodore Roos, the guy who founded that. He's the one that created the pulp comic books. So it's got these occult connections from the foundations. And, you know, that's ultimately what's going on here. Science fiction, creating reality, it's magic. That's why it's Hollywood, the magic wand, creating reality. If you want more, I wrote a whole book about this concept. It's called The Dark Path. You can get it everywhere. Amazon, Audible, I self-narrated it. You can get signed copies. I got a whole stack of them on my shelf right here for you. If you go to gumroad.com/IsaacW, you get a signed copy from me. Or you can get the PDF. Sign up for patreon.com/IlluminatiWatcher. And I'll give you the PDF instantly, along with a PDF of Kubrick's Code to go with your ad-free feed and bonus episodes over 100 and counting, my God. So thank you for listening. That was a lot to unpack. And I could have kept going, but I was like, dude, I got to wrap this up. This analysis is like becoming massive. So those are all the topics I found. You could actually take each one of those topics and dive much deeper, but you know, we got other things to talk about, right? So thank you for listening to the show. Thank you for everyone who reached out and said, oh, Isaac, you got to watch this movie. I get those requests a lot. And if there's enough requests, I oblige, right? So thank you, everybody who hit me up about this one. You were right. You were on the money. Shout out Hermione McGonagall. All right. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Till next time, stay woke.